Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
616, if you have any questions or comments for Mike Dettelier, text him in 87870, and I'll get them to him. Or you can call 260-1870 if you got time to sit on hold, but it might be easier to text him. Mike Dettelier joins us now, our friend, WWL NFL and college football analyst. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Tommy.
How you?
I'm good.
Man, let me tell you, it seems to me yesterday was a team victory in every way, and I'm not just talking about special teams and defense and Teddy Bridgewater managing the game, but the Saints had a great game plan. Thomas Morstead, what can you say about him? They overcame that Seattle, which is a tough place to play. It just seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that maybe they had a week away after Drew hurt himself. Maybe they could have just bonded as a team. What do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, it's real early in the season, but that goes down, that win, because they were 15-0 in September at home since 2010. That goes down as one of the biggest early season road wins in the Sean Payton time frame in New Orleans. You're doing it without Drew. You're doing it in a place that not only do they have a crowd advantage because it's so loud there, you got a weather advantage. Now, you thought you were going to go there in September, the weather would be nice, and you catch this, you know, dreary, raining situation. You overcame the odds. No, listen, that's a stunner out in Seattle to win that game in the fashion you did. And I put this out on Twitter, and I thought yesterday was Sunday. So, you know, early in the Sundays, you know, you go to Mass and everything.
Wait,
and
yesterday was Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is normally, you know, you go to Mass early on Sunday and that sort of thing. So, you know, you kind of relieve yourself of things you did during the week and whatever. You know, put 27-7, you know, and no one could have predicted that. Then I get about a dozen people. Well, I knew it. My thing about it is, Tommy, I'm glad I wasn't standing next to him, because if the man upstairs would have hit you with a lightning bolt, I wouldn't want to be close. Now, you might have thought they were going to be winning, but in that stunning a fashion. The other thing, too, is they're a really good team to come back. They've won four of the last five games. They've been trailing at halftime at home. How they made that comeback, and, you know, they shortened up the score because it looked a little bit better, really, numerically, so to speak. But, man, to win in that fashion, to get you a punt return for a score with Deontay, and then the scoop and score by Von Bell, you did it a different way. But you know what? Every book's different. You win it a different manner, and you came up with the W. Enjoy it. And for us, hey, we're going to take the 30-hour rule. We're going to enjoy this a little bit longer because, you know, Bobby and I got to do things at the Silver Slipper tonight. Yeah. So we're going to enjoy it a little bit more with the fans tonight there. But that was a huge win on the road, and thinking about doing it without Breeze. And everybody, every factor really came into play there. And that's what you're going to have here over the next few weeks until Breeze comes back.
I'm going to pick it up here and we come back. Somebody texted in, could Teddy have actually done better than Drew because Drew doesn't handle a wet ball too well? You can answer that. Also, somebody texted, they texted it in, but I heard Sean Payton say it as well about Deontay Harris. He thought he was a diamond when he ran a punt back, but a lump of coal when he fumbled the ball. 620, more when we come back. You got any comments or questions for Mike? Text him 87870. Right now, time for traffic on WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about yesterday's Saints victory over the Seattle Seahawks. Mike, somebody texted in earlier, just a text saying, could maybe Teddy Bridgewater have helped yesterday in that Drew has been known to have troubles handling a wet ball?
Man, listen, if I got my choice, I want Drew out on the field. I mean, whatever. I mean, everybody got their own opinions.
Right.
You don't have to agree with it. But listen, you would love to have Drew out there. And it was the first sort of glimpse of, I think once Drew walks away from this, that it's going to look a little differently. And you saw it yesterday. It looked a little differently offensively. The one thing they did, they won the battle up front. Did you hear Jadeveon Clowney's name?
Nope.
Or Ziggy Ansah? You
nope.
didn't hear that name at all.
Nair mentioned.
And so they did a great job up front. They got rid of the football quicker. You could see Teddy was getting rid of the football fast and quick, and they didn't let that Seattle pass rush get to them. And they were able to run the football. And at the end of the game, best player on the field out there, Alvin Kamara. I mean, you just
Amazing.
Saw his big play ability. And we all know about how quick and how fast he is, ability to make people miss. But it's stunning for not a big back of how powerful he is. You know, because he kind of barrels through people. And you don't appreciate kind of what he gives in that category, because that's not what you think about with him. But he never goes backwards. You know, virtually when he gets hit, it's either sideways or forwards. He had a tremendous game, and also to Thomas Morstead. But I got to say it, man, listen, that is as good a game plan as Sean Payton and
yep.
his staff will
Absolutely.
Ever come up with. And a lot of times, you know, we got, you know, that's what we do shows for, of critical, maybe things happen during the game, and that's what fans complain about. Man, that was yesterday. That was one you keep. You know, that game plan, man, you put that in the fold and say, man, that was a real good one.
You know, I think he outcoached Pete Carroll, and he also didn't get hit in the face with a football.
Oh goodness.
Man, that was ugly.
Again, getting hit there, you don't have a lot of skin there.
No.
And, you know, and he's 60, and Pete's 68 years old,
and
man.
That hurts.
That revels you up, but it's amazing. That win out on the road in that environment to come up with that W, and you'll enjoy it. Just, man, hold a little bit back because you know what's happening next Sunday night.
Somebody texted in, Jared Cook couldn't catch crabs in Lake Pontchartrain with a big hamper.
No, he's been
That's not what they said, but I changed it a little bit.
Yeah, I get it. But he's a major disappointment so far early in the season. Drop passes. Come on, you got to make those catches. You're getting paid a lot of money to do it. Hopefully that turns around because you need him in this offense. He is such a big play force that he's been a major disappointment so far. So far early. Because you're going to need him during the season.
I don't know how many drops he had, but the one that I can think of, I don't know how many plays he had. I could look it up. But, man, he looked slow, Mike. He looked old and slow.
And that's not what we saw during the summer. That's not what we saw during the training camp period, where, man, he is a big target guy with speed and some giddy up after the catch. And
did he look old and slow to you?
He looked slow, but that's not his game because he's always been a speed guy. And again, I think for every player, you go through a little bit of a funk as a player to get out. And so he needs to have a game where just wipe all that clean.
So he barely played in the preseason, right?
Barely.
Do you
barely
think he's...
played, but all I can say is he was something during this training camp period where you can see the pitch and catch part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints defensive backs, when he got open, he got open. And that's been the biggest surprise offensively, that he has not been a bigger factor.
All right, we take a break. We come back. We're going to look inside the numbers here, and you look at the pass defense from the cornerbacks. For example, Marshawn Lattimore, 10 tackles, 2 assists, only 1 pass defended. Then you keep going down, and it doesn't get a whole lot better. Total, 3 passes defended, and Seattle completed like 28, I think it is. So it didn't seem like they had a real good day. We'll talk more about that when we come back. And if y'all have any comments or questions, text them to 87870 or call 260-1870. You can talk to Mike directly as you can this evening from the Silver Slipper. More on that when we come back. Right now, it's time for WWL First News with Dave Cohen.
Snap is back and the kick is away. It's a high punt but short. Harris fields it at the 48, makes 2 misses. He's off to the races, the 40, the 35, the 30. Deontay Harris into the end zone. No flags on the field, and the Saints strike first on special teams.
Mike Dettelier, our guest, NFL and college football analyst. Zach Strief with the call on Deontay Harris's punt return for a touchdown. Mike, you know what impressed me so much about that? Two things. One is that the guy's just lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
Right? And secondly, is that it was a clean punt return with no penalties. You could even see in the upper right-hand part of the screen two Saints guys cleanly blocking whoever it was, you know what I'm talking about, to keep them from coming over. And yesterday's game was just penalty-riddled. Is that the way? I know Tom Brady tweeted Thursday night he was turning the game off because of the penalties. What's going on here?
That's every game you have seen early in the season. And that's got to calm down by the officials. You got to calm that down. But it's seemingly become a flag festival. Every game you watch is just not Saints. It's every game that you see on television. So, or you see live, whatever.
Right.
But Tommy, it's one of those things that this league's got to clean up quickly, because you're ruining the watching part of it. But it's constant throwing the flag, and a lot more holding penalties than I've ever seen. And they had a stat yesterday about it's like 10 times more in 2 weeks than it was last year. So that goes to show you know, everybody's jittery throwing the flag up and down the field. And I think to watch it or listen to it, it's horrible to see that. But again, that's part of the league's problems that they better clean up, and clean up fast.
Yeah, they talk about instant replay and challenges and all that slowing up the game. There ain't nothing slowing up the game like those penalties.
Nothing. The only
Stops
people that
it.
Like that are the networks.
They get their commercials
in? They can sell more advertising time. No, if you get eight penalties on one side, nine penalties on the other, man, that's a ton of penalties. And you're right. You talk about slowing down the game. That it was. And it does. Every single week you see it in every game you watch. And why that has become so trendy early on, the NFL is going to have to crack that back. And you watch over the next few weeks. They're hearing it back from them. That won't nearly be as much.
The good thing is you got time to go to the Bacauza. All right, let me look at stats here. Teddy Bridgewater had a higher quarterback rating than did Russell Wilson, 112.7 and 102.6. The Saints, 23 passes, 27 rushes. Seattle, 50 passes, 26 rushes. And Mike, if you taught me anything in the time we've been talking, it is if you're in the NFL and you're throwing the ball 50 times, it's going to be hard for you to win.
No, there's a stat with Drew that if he throws the football 45 times or more in a game, the Saints don't win 15% of their games.
But that's generally in the NFL, is it not?
But that's part of what you see in the NFL. When you start pitching it the way Seattle had to yesterday, because, you know, you fall behind, you're not patient with the running game. And, man, to be honest with you, Chris Carson, I don't know if he had shoe issues, if he had issues
or
with
knee
the
issues, I don't know what it was.
But, man, he hit the turf and no one touched him. You had absolutely no running game. And so Russell had to do what he had to do to try to win the game. And that was to throw it. Now, what you remember with Wilson is he missed a couple of throws that he was just a tad off. One in the end zone, and then one on a baffling fourth and a half-yard play where you're going to throw the football. So, again, you can kind of roll it through your head, but when you throw the football 50 times in a game, you're not likely to win.
Somebody texted in that the Saints seemed to slow down the game rather than hurry up and get to the line. Teddy Bridgewater was taking his time, and I'm sure that was by design, and letting the clock run down, a game clock run down a good amount.
Yeah, well, you know, if I'm ahead, why should I hurry up and come to the line of scrimmage?
Well, they said the kickoff is what they're saying, it seems like.
Well, that's basically what you would see with Drew also. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, they're not running, and they don't let you run the fast-paced offense. Sometimes people kind of look at college football where you can do that, and they allow you to do it, where you can kind of get up to the line of scrimmage, you run a play, you get up to the line of scrimmage, you call it. They don't want the substitute. They don't want the other team to do it. You can't do that in the NFL. So it's not slowing the game down, but sometimes, you know, people who watch college football in the NFL, they get confused a little bit about, well, how come we don't run it fast? They don't allow you to.
All right, let me take a break. When we come back, let's look ahead to Dallas. It seems like the secondary is going to have to get their act together in terms of Zeke Elliott. The defense for the Saints is very good against the run. We'll talk more when we come back. Mike Dettelje, our guest, NFL college football analyst, 651, Tommy Tucker, WWL, now traffic.
From the WWL Rejuvenate Medical Traffic Center, I'm Joshua Dausch. I-10 coming in from LaPlace. Congestion as you get onto the Spillway Bridge, then as you come off into Kenner, got about 2 miles of slowdown from the airport up to the Veterans Boulevard exit where it opens up. If you're traveling in from New Orleans East, congestion on I-10 is at Reed up to the high rise with secondary delays into the city past the bridge from St. Bernard. Causeway clear if you're coming from the North Shore and from the West Bank approaching the Crest City Connection. Slowdowns from Terry Parkway till you reach the upslope of the bridge. Traffic brought to you by Bennett's Photo, 3521 18th across from Drago's.
657, 3 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Mike, the boy against the pass, you know, you got two guys there and you got the receiver right in the middle, and somehow he manages to bring the ball down. I know there were good throws. Going ahead, looking ahead a week to Dak Prescott and stopping him, and also when it relates, as it relates to Zeke Elliott. I prefer Ezekiel, the formal way. But anyway, Saints rushing defense is pretty good. How does all of that stack up?
Well, last year, the Cowboys, I thought the straw that turned the drink for them was Zeke. Okay, everything kind of rolled through him. Now, this year, it's different. It rolls through Dak, and he's really made great progress as a passer. The Saints defensively played really well against the Cowboys. They got zip on offense. Nothing against that Cowboy defense last time they played them. So that's got to change. You got to be able to find something there that works for you on offense. Because I think defensively, you're going to match up okay against them. It's going to be, can you get points on the board against the Cowboy defense? And again, last year, you really struggled in that game against the Cowboys. And for whatever reason, the last few times you've matched up against them, they have matched up very well against you. Man, very, very well.
Real quick, too, I want to get this in about the game on Sunday. A couple of people texted this in. It seems as though there's a lot of confusion. Teddy Bridgewater seemed frustrated. He was constantly pointing to people to tell him where to go, unless that was some kind of fake-out deal to see what the Seattle had going on defense. What do you think?
Well, you see Drew do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It was preseason. Now you play in regular season. And that's the part of not playing your regulars during the preseason, is that you're going to have some of that early in the season. If you watch the Patriots, you see Brady do it. If you watch the Chiefs, you see Mahomes do it. So it's trying to get everybody in alignment and mentally understanding where you got to be on every play.
Great game plan yesterday by Sean Payton. Great execution by the team. Give Teddy Bridgewater a little bit of confidence. The big number to me, Mike, is interceptions. Zero by Teddy Bridgewater.
The other thing, too, is 54 yards a punt by Thomas Morstead. Think about that.
An undervalued asset, man. People don't realize that in the directional nature of it. Mike, we'll listen for y'all this evening live from the Silver Slipper. Don't forget the coaches show with Sean Payton and assistant head coach and tight ends coach Dan Campbell. Maybe he'll have some info about Jared Cook. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.